And now, it's time for the RMNB Podcast.
So, if you're watching this, one, sorry for being late. Second, hi, I'm Peter on this side, and over here is Ian. Let us know if you can hear us both.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I hope they can.
Can you see Alan May in the background for me?
God help us, I can. All right.
And Steve, the new addition, doing the cat pose at me. I like it.
Hey, Ian.
Kind of an action shot.
Happy opening day.
Thanks. I'm really excited. I actually woke up and I felt that little, I felt butterflies.
Yeah.
I really did. It was amazing. I'm so excited.
If you think about like how tough it was, the last season ended really rough. Like those last like three games against the Canes were pretty brutal, like hard to watch, you know?
Yeah,
but I think
you know, and I don't want to like take any. You know, I'm also shaking a little bit because Ilya Samsonov is on the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, so that's the breaking news that I'm glad we're doing this now, right? So
yeah, it worked out perfect.
Just half an hour ago, 45 minutes ago, the Caps announced that they're putting Phoenix Copley on waivers. He is not a guaranteed waiver clear guy. There's always a good market for a cheap backup, although he's not super cheap. And so that means Samsonov is going to back up Holtby. And I think the subtext there, you know, do you want to sort of tease what I think this means long term?
Oh, I think it means that Braden Holtby is unlikely to return unless Samsonov doesn't do well this year and there's clearly issues, or Holtby does so well that they just have to go with him. You know what I mean?
What if
so
Holtby doing well means he's less likely to stay? So like here's my take. Holtby, the market is sort of set by two precedents. Carey Price and Bobrovsky. Which means, you know, $10 million basically is like the average. And I don't think Holtby will get quite that much on next year's open market if he makes it there. But dude's gonna make at least $8 million a year. He's going to be, what, 31 entering next season? Like, if he plays well, he'll be that golden ticket guy. He's got a Vezina and a Stanley Cup in his rear view. He had two pretty down seasons, the last two, but before that, he was a pretty excellent goalie. I think there's a lot to be attractive there.
Yeah. You know, when I read the story that Isabel did for the Washington Post about how Samsonov stayed with Scott Murray for the first month, you actually start piecing things together a little bit and start looking backwards. You're like, oh, maybe this was the plan all along, and they've already kind of made a decision on Holtby, or they made a decision about how they want to go about deciding Holtby. $10 million for a goaltender over 30, that is, you know, I don't think the Capitals or the Florida Panthers, who gave the farm to Ilya Bobrovsky. So, like, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I'm really excited to see what he can do at the NHL level. The preseason games that I saw him watch, he looked incredible. He still has things he needs to work on. I wouldn't say he's a great mover with, he's not a great puck handler with a stick, which is not a huge, huge deal. You know, everybody's glove hand could be better, but that's something that he can work on too. But in terms of how flexible he is, how big he is, he's a rock back there, and he never really seems to ever get flustered. And he's the type of guy that can make just humongous saves at huge moments. So we'll see how it goes. I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited about that move. Copley, though, I think he deserved better.
Yeah,
also weird to think.
Do you think the Caps were working on a trade? I mean, the Caps obviously didn't want to bring up any more salary, but like they might have been an asset, right?
Okay, I put this on Twitter a few days ago when I was reading Vogue's story, kind of going into the season opener about how the Capitals aren't going to keep three goaltenders, and they're most likely going to move Samsonov or Copley. basically, or cut. But that made me think, are they looking into trading Holtby? And I also think that could also be something they're looking into as well. It doesn't seem...
It's dark, man. You're bumming me out.
It's really dark. It's hard to imagine, but, like, why would he say... Like, you know, folks. Like, folks is very choosy with his words. So opening that up for Holtby potentially being gone, I know that's possible. Anybody could be gone. But it's still interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not prepared for, like... cards on the table. Holtby's my favorite Caps player of all time, and I'm as much as it's like a business, like my feelings will be a little hurt here. But there's more than just breaking news. We have been soliciting questions. I have the chat open here, so I can see everyone's messages coming through. I'm going to start with some of the old ones from the comments of the post, just to see what people say, and then we'll move to the chat in a second here. But if you're in the chat, you're among the 50 or so people watching. Please do drop us a question, and we will get to them as fast as we can. I'm going to skip the ones that are trolling, right? We don't even want to entertain the trolling questions.
Unless they're really funny.
Will the Caps lose in expansion draft now that Copley's on waivers? This question is from Rod Langway. I don't think it's actually from Rod Langway. I think it's from someone using his handle. I am not prepared for...
Peter, and Christian Juice is gone, too. Those are the two guys.
Yeah, bring them back up just to expose them. Like, they're going to do that, right? Like, they want to maximize their exposed players. I think, like, the weird thing is, if you asked me before, I would have said they would expose TJ Oshie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He would have loved that, too, because he lives up there.
But I'm not sure if that actually is, what will happen or not. But that's my, like, outside bet that he would be both exposed and vulnerable. That said, durability is a big question, and I'm sure I'm sure that the front office there is going to be pretty skeptical about it. That said, I think Hoshi's an excellent player, and we'll see how he holds up this year.
Yeah, and at some point, he's just going to be all metal and plates.
More man than machine. there's also, like, the middle of the Caps D is going to be interesting. Like, we're going to see, Jensen, Kempney, Fairvari. How'd I do there on that pronunciation? I feel like those guys...
way better than mine.
The skill ceiling on those players is still open. Actually, I think that's our next question. This one's from VR100. Is there a chance that Fairvari will be sent back to his Swedish club after his first 10 games when Kempney gets back to the team from injury? Go for it.
That's a no. He is staying with the Capitals. Because he plays in Europe, he is not susceptible to the being returned to the junior team rule. So he's not going to go back to HV71. He is either going to be here or Hershey, which I think the Capitals really loved. I think that's going to further accelerate his development. They have actually a kind of a pickle is that I don't necessarily know that they needed Radko Gudas when they made that trade for Niskanen, though he is a good defender. I think they have two good defensemen here in Siegenthaler and Fairvari. Eric Fairvari.
There you go.
We'll see. But he will not be returned to Sweden.
Cool.
Another
question from VR100. Of all the new players, Ponik, Hathaway, Leipzig, Fairvari, and Gudas, who do you think will have the biggest positive impact? I'll go first. My inclination is probably for Radko Gudas. If he plays a lot, that's still another question, like Ian just said. So my backup's probably for Ponik, because he'll be slotting in for like a third line that's changing a lot. And I think that... Obviously, without Connolly, without Burakovsky, it's going to be a different look down there. But I think it may be a really good opportunity for Eller to find like a different offensive gear, if that's, in fact, where we're going to see Ponik playing. If not, really anybody who's on the fourth line. Like, the fourth line was pretty crummy last season. By the way, don't get me started on lines today. I'm pretty anxious about... I mean, obviously, like, your fourth line, like, even if you have a really good fourth line, they're only playing, 12 minutes a night tops. But I think that we're going to see an improvement from there. My posture's terrible. I'm going to switch.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
What do you think of the same guys, though? Who's most likely to have a good impact?
I actually think that Jonas Siegenthaler will. I think that he really grew up last year. He really turned into a really impactful defenseman. And I think full-time, getting minutes, I think we're just going to see him grow and grow and grow. And I think he's going to be a really solid player. He kind of reminds me of Nick Jensen, but maybe a little bit, kind of plays a little bit bigger than him. So we'll see. But I think Siegenthaler will be that guy. I'm also interested to see what Panic will do and what their new look PK will do. I'm a little nervous about the PK, but it's a lot of different people, you know?
Siegenthaler was on the list. You cheated.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
That's okay. So I said, ask us anything. Free Willy 43 says anything. And I said, anything. And so here's a lightning round. These are from Michael Smith. You're going to answer these, all right? Is it possible to sneeze, cough, hiccup, burp, and fart at the same time?
I'm a no.
I'm a no also. I think you would die. Next question. If mirrors need light to work, what happens when you put night vision goggles on in the dark and look at a mirror? You would see the same thing in the dark. Like, that. Like you'd see the below the visible spectrum. That's a dumb question. That doesn't make any sense. I'm answering. That was dumb. Michael Smith says,
I'm the thinking emoji.
Is there ever a day that mattresses are not on sale?
No.
Such a day.
No, they're not.
Why is there a...
You know what? The mattress discounter's place right beside Key Stadium. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Always has a sale sign.
Why is there a highway to hell but only a stairway to heaven?
Oh, that's deep.
That's deep.
That's deep.
Why are both of SpongeBob's parents round like sea sponges while he is square like a kitchen sponge?
Because he's in the straight edge. Okay. I don't know.
And that's the end of those wasteful questions.
Because he's for kids.
Dan wants to know what your favorite pickle is. I'm not sure how to answer a question about a favorite pickle. I like a pickled cucumber. I like a pickled onion. I like a little pearl onion pickled. They have those at Wine Kitchen. Do you ever get the cheese and charcuterie at Wine Kitchen?
Oh, no. I've never been there before.
Oh, I will take you. It's really
good. You need to take me. Take me on a date. I will take you on a real steak dinner. Arm and B business good. Date. That sounds good.
Pat says he'd like to know the difference between Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. I actually know the difference between Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. In the original Pac-Man, you're stuck inside the grid. Like, you can't get out of it. But in Ms. Pac-Man, if you go all the way to the left, you can come back on the right. So, yeah, that's the difference between
Pac-Man. I thought that was going to go in a way different direction than that.
Also, sex organs. All right. So that ends our going through the chat. So now I'm going to look through the... Oh, nice OVOs, Ian. All right.
Hi, Peter. How's it going? I'm going to score 3 goals tonight and kiss glove 3x2.
All right.
Sorry.
Thank you for creeping me out.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Gene wants to know, how many boxes of OVOs do you have left?
Like 10.
Cool.
Will I eat all of them before the expiration date? That is the question.
Have you had any?
Yes, I have.
Are they good?
Yes. Okay, so like they are priced like some of Giant's cheaper cereal that they make, but it tastes like someone else made it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like it's like, you know, it's like the Lucky Charms dude and the Honey Nut Cheerios bee were like, we're gonna make a really good cereal together. Which sounds really, really awkward now that I think about it. But yeah, it's actually, it tastes like in between like Honey Nut and like Frosted. And it's really, and a little bit of maple, kind of. It tastes really good.
I like a Honey Nut Cheerio. I've got a lot of time for that. Yeah. I'd say that fruits are my preferred, but it's just like, it's like an indulgent treat that I have when I'm on trips.
I will say that when I usually get like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, you know, like the Giant or the Wegman brand cereal, there's always a permeating taste of cardboard that comes through, and this does not have that. So I was surprised. Like, I thought it was really good. It ended up really good. So.
All right. So Ben has some over-unders for us. Cats at 101.5 points, over or under?
I think over.
That's a tough one. I mean, if you were to ask me, I would say 101 is it. But yeah, I'll go over too. I think they're going to overperform.
The wheels could completely come off this season because everyone else is so good, and just, you know, there could be some chemistry issues. But and like Ovi, if Ovi doesn't score, you know, 25 playoff goal the power play goals, you know, things like that. Backstrom tails off. Holtby or Samsonov. Like, there's just a lot of things that could happen this year where things could tail off. But yeah,
I think they're more likely to improve in fundamental ways, but that doesn't guarantee that their standings will be better. So I know
it's
like a typically mealy-mouthed prediction from me, but Ovi at 44.5 goals. Over, under.
I'm going to say over. But I have not thought he would score more than 40 goals for like the last 10 years, and he just keeps doing it.
Ian, you have tweets every year in October that say he's going 60 goals, take it to the bank.
Well, no, that's after he scores like 10 in two games, and then I'm like, okay, he's got to do it. He's got to do it.
All right. BS meter going off already. Wilson at 0.5 suspension. Tom Wilson's not getting suspended this season. Regular season only.
Hi, Peter. I am the third line center.
You're also out
and
of
I'm
focus,
very
Lars.
Good. Oh, God.
So one thing, now that we do video stuff, you need to do a tour of your basement because it is bonkers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have more than just creepy media personalities behind me.
Did you chime in on Wilson's suspension? 0.5 suspensions.
Yeah. Oh, zero. I think you'll have none.
Cool.
Watching him in the preseason, he was like making smart decisions with his hits. I was surprised.
Cool. All right. Something says expose Peter. Not sure what that means. Kind of creepy comment. What was the first Caps game you remember seeing live from Matthew Corey?
Do you want me to go? Mine, I vividly remember my first Capitals game ever. It was, I believe, in 1993 or 1994. It was the first year I'd been watching hockey. My dad surprised me and my brother with tickets to USA Arena to see the Capitals play the New York Rangers. I was so excited. The drive sucked, though, for Frederick. But anyways, when we went there, it was like 3-2. In the second period, so I went at intermission. I went down to the tunnel where the players were coming out, and I reached my hand out. And I was like, "Connor, are you going to score a hat trick?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, I am." And then he goes out there and he scored a hat trick in the third period. And up in the upper deck, I was jumping up and down, like to my dad and my brother, like, "He did it for me! He did it for me!" And I was just.
I've heard that story.
That's how I got hooked into hockey. It's just how accessible the players were and how fun hockey is and how emotional it is when they score. It's just, there's nothing better than it to me.
My dad's a Philly sports fan. So he took me to Caps Flyers probably the same year, probably 93, with some friends. And, I was into like Mighty Ducks hockey, I liked the superstars and I liked the game, but I wasn't a Caps fan until, later in the 90s, like probably the 98 Cup run.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Were you one of the people that was wearing a Caps jersey and no one else was in Frederick?
I've never had any sports gear.
Yeah, it's so depressing.
I was always I was a soft book boy.
Do you remember where we got you that Matt Bradley jersey?
I love that. I'm going to wear that thing forever.
Can you tell that story really quick?
You got me a Matt Bradley jersey. It says, "I'll fight for you."
Yeah.
You came over. That was a big day.
That was really, really fun. Yeah.
Matt Corey also asks what shirt I'm wearing. I'm wearing a Periphery t-shirt. The heavy metal band, they're actually Caps fans. There's a Final Fantasy like themed heavy metal band t-shirt. My favorite album of the year is Periphery for Hail Stan. What has been your favorite Russian Machine story of the year so far, Ian? That's a hard one.
You know what? I can only think recently because there's so many favorites, and I don't say that because I love my site so much that I'm blind that we write bad content sometimes.
I'm gonna agree with you on it.
But I'm gonna say Danya's recent post about Austin Matthews. Just to give some backstory to that is that everyone on Armin B was kind of uncomfortable with how people reacted to our initial story, like him mooning everyone and everything was whatever. But the fact that he and a bunch of men tried to push into a woman's car is not okay, and that really affected some of the members of our site, obviously. And I think people missed the point of how serious that was. And I know Danya took it really to heart, and so she was struggling that day that she wrote the story, and then around 8 o'clock at night, she just sent me something that she wrote up, and she's like, "I just wrote this, to be cathartic, and it made me feel better." And when I read it, I just started crying. And so for me, I think good writing is honest and heartfelt, and it takes your own experiences and relates it to something else to explain why it's significant and how, and it also challenges people to think bigger and think more intellectually than me, or, and challenge people, you know? Like, I've said this, and Peter and Pat have made fun of me, but, like, I've watched, like, SVU on NBC, and a good SVU episode to me is one that, kind of ends, and you're not really sure what the right thing is, and it really makes you think. And so I think, Danya, that was one of the best and most important articles we've ever done over the 10 years, and it just came out of the blue. I don't think she expected me to be like, this is powerful and amazing, and everyone has to read this, because it's going to change some lives, and I think it's going to make you feel better. I think it's going to rally people around you, and it did, and it was very heartfelt. So, yeah.
I totally agree. I have nothing to add. All right, then let's cruise on. End of season predictions for the Metro Division, please, from Barrow's Boy. Why don't we just pick our top three in the Metro? I'll go... in no particular order, Canes, Caps, Pens.
I'll go in order. Capitals, Hurricanes, New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
Rangers. And Rangers after that.
We'll see.
No Penguins.
No Penguins.
I could totally see Penguins having a huge falling off. All right.
Yeah.
Do any of the new players excel at face-offs? I have no idea.
Well, we know one person who doesn't, Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Well, he won't impact the first three games of the season. that question, by the way, was from... Never mind, it's gone now. I can't get to it. That was from Anthony. Yeah, cool. I don't know. I think we'll see. I don't think that face-offs were a big problem last year or any year. But that's you guys...
You know, I have a question for you, Peter. What do you think of Chandler Stephenson in the third line center role?
I asked you not to bring this up, Ian. I watched, I don't know, like six periods of preseason hockey. I think preseason as a sample is more likely to lead you down the wrong path than the right path, because there's so many confounding factors that are near impossible to control for. That said, obviously the front office has information we don't have, and hopefully they're making smart decisions. And I totally understand rewarding the player for having a good camp, but if he stays up in this in the big club through November, that's probably a sign of a disease in the decision-making process rather than anything else. I don't think that he's magically turned from a player that had the least offense in the NHL over the last two seasons into something that other than that. But I also think that he's a player that is pretty good at the other stuff. At least as like a bottom six player. So I don't have a problem with anybody playing 10 games in the NHL. I just have a problem with a guy taking a roster spot from somebody else. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what? I feel like he robs people like Liam O'Brien, who, you know.
Okay.
Again, I get why Liam O'Brien. I get everybody on Liam O'Brien.
Let's type in Liam
but
O'Brien
I think he'd be
age.
A good fourth line player.
O'Brien age. What is he?
25? Yeah, go ahead. 24, 25?
Oh,
something like
no,
that.
He's 43. He's an American voice actor from Weehawken, New Jersey. My bust. Wrong Liam O'Brien. All right. Where is this? I have too many windows open. Okay. Thoughts on whether the Caps power play will get back into the league's top 10 or has become too predictable notwithstanding zone entry issues? I have no idea. I also didn't know that they were outside the top 10. Yeah. I always think of, like, you can always like look at us like with their conversion percentages, but like they score a lot of goals and that's all that really matters. They were a little bit too OV dependent last season and they did not get what they needed to get out of Kuznetsov last season.
Yeah, I think you're going to see, I honestly think they're going to see a huge bounce back, at least on the power play from Kuzi. And I'm really interested in what ends up happening with Tom Wilson. I really wonder what he would look like on the first unit instead of Oshie.
Yeah,
but I'm crazy.
Maybe taken out of, yeah, that's a good point.
And I also think Verana, they're going to give more opportunity to Verana, and I think he's a star in the making, so...
Brian wants to know. See, Brian, I don't even know if Ian read this, but what is each of your favorite entry in the Not Up for Debate series? I don't know. It's like though that series is written partially to make sure that Ian doesn't have to read it or be aware of it at all. That said, my favorite was probably the Smashing Pumpkins one because it was so off the wall, deep pools across the board.
Well, it's really funny, and it also gives us actual content in August. Which, and it's not for me.
Evergreen content.
Any content for me not in August, I consider like an ice cream sundae. Because usually in August, I'm like, oh, I don't want to cover the social media thing. please, someone do something creative that isn't me writing something completely uninteresting. All right, go ahead.
Do you think Reardon, we kind of answered this already. This is from Renee. Do you think Reardon will ever mix up the power play personnel if they continue to be predictable? I think we kind of answered that. So, like, Wilson, like, I think Wilson and Oshie Kuznetsov also isn't a lock in there. I don't think that, like, the Carlson Ovechkin formulation, especially Backstrom on the half wall there, that probably won't change. And, like, as far as, like, becoming too predictable, like, yeah, you know that shot's coming. You can predict it. It's still going in 20% of the time. Like, what are you going to do about it? You
yeah.
Know, like, that works.
I think there's going to be some changes, but, yeah, it's like there's still the slingshot that the Capitals say isn't the slingshot. You know, I saw that during a game after someone said the Capitals are going to stop doing the slingshot, and I was just like, nope, it'll never die. Right. It's a cockroach. Like, a meteorite has just hit the Earth, taken out all the dinosaurs, but that slingshot cockroach is still moving.
Ben asks, what my favorite Final Fantasy is. It's 7, obviously. That's an easy one. I have not played the remaster. I'm not going to, but... Caps4LifeOV8 asks, how mad is Dan Snyder right now?
Oh, he's probably... Think about this, right? Nationals killing it.
Sticks... Mystics are being playing well. The cap season starting, and they're going to be what? They're 0-3 now. They're going to be 0-4 after next week, right?
Yeah, what an embarrassment. And then Haskins comes in unceremoniously and looks terrible. I mean, it's just what a disaster. Yeah. Like, that's the only hope of the season. And then you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, I totally agree. All righty. Everyone's agreeing that Danya's story is excellent. Oh, okay. Barrow's boy. After Reardon's first year behind the bench, on a scale from 1 to 10, how confident are you in his head coaching? I think he was more Trotz-like. So, like, as much as I wanted to give him, like, the benefit of the doubt and say, like, oh, everything I didn't like, he would do better. Like, everything I didn't like about Trotz, Reardon would do better. I think that was probably, you know, reverse halo effect or something. But, yeah, I would say 5, as expected. I wish he would have made some bigger changes. I wish he would have, like, done some personnel stuff, but... Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, like you said, I think also people, when Barry Trotz won the Stanley Cup, there was maybe an evolution of his evaluation that maybe wasn't realistic, because, you know, he did that year, he was almost fired 3 times, and there were good reasons why he was almost fired. And so I actually think that Reardon in a lot of ways is a better coach in terms of, like, strategy and decision making with, like, lines and things like that. But, like, you know, Trotz has been in the league for a long time, and, you know, he has a great coaching staff with, like, Mitch Korn and stuff. So, you know, but when people were blaming Reardon last year, I did not get it at all. I didn't get it at all here.
Neither did I.
I didn't. That was really weird. I was one of those rare times as an analyst. I was like, I don't know what to say. This is really stupid. Why are people blaming? Like when they blame Ted for not shelling out money for Trotz, I don't think Trotz was coming back because he was, you know, man at the team. You know what I mean? Like, he almost got fired 3 times. He knew that. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, so that was the deal he ended up getting with Long Island was $20 million 5 years, right? Or something like that?
Yeah.
So, like, that's what Monumental, like, sunk into, like, you know, concourse improvements. So you can either have, like, the coach that you almost fired 3 times in the previous calendar year, or, you know, have clean kitchens run by Aramark at I listened to
and have Jose Andreas and 2 more restaurants for Jose Andreas.
That's awesome.
I go with Andreas, you know.
I also, like, there's like this, I don't know, specter around Trotz because of, like, how successful the Islanders were last season. I'll just ask everyone to pin that thought and revisit it, you know, April 2nd of 2020, because I have a feeling the Islanders are going to be garbo.
And if we, and I would also encourage people to go to Google and type in Mitch Korn and then save that image on your phone or desktop and put it as your screensaver.
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now. Mitch Korn. I'm not going to put this up on the video here, but so image search?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch. I've got a bunch of Mitch Korn pictures here. Is there one in particular that's great?
How about the one of him with all the goalies at Kettler? Where it's like him and like 3 or 4 goalies. No, the Capitals goalies. Every year he would take a photo for himself, with like Holtby and Copley, you know, just and like the other guys that help out, like Scott Murray and stuff. Okay. So like, I usually see those when I do an image search. So that was the first thing I thought of.
Danya thinks that Final Fantasy IX's the best in the Final Fantasy series. I'm not even going to ask Ian. Like,
no, thank you. Thank you. Like, I've never played a logic. What are those called? Logic games? I don't even know what they're called.
Logic games. Jeez Louise.
I don't know.
They're called role playing games.
Role playing games.
Made by game studios in Japan. They're called JRPGs or Japanese role playing games.
Can I also give a shout out to Pat Holden, who I am going to crush in NHL 20 whenever he has the cojones to play
Excellent.
Me.
I'm sure he'll watch the replay of this, but if someone wants to tell it, like subtweet him or tell him that we're talking about him on the stream, that'd be great. Ben agrees with Danya that 9's the best, but Oh No Penguin agrees with me that 7's the best. Red 13 forever. Viera 100 asks a question about Kemeny's injury, and I don't know. This is like a medical question. He asks, is it a grade 2, a partial muscle tear, or a grade 3, complete muscle tear? And he says,
we need Lindsay from Crashers.
That's true. Lindsay would know this. And he says, if it's a grade 3, it's less likely that he returns to his pre-hamstring injury capabilities. I am very worried about that, for the record. Like, we don't know what like Kempney's new normal will be, and that's something to keep in mind on.
You know, at least he has modeling to fall back on. Yeah. Because boy, that guy is handsome. Like, he is sorry, Tom. That guy is handsome. Like, that guy it was like 10 Roman gods were like, we need to, you do the hair, I'll do the chin and the nose. You know what I mean? It's just right. As a male, like, I find him very handsome.
I'm gonna pull one out of the chat. This one's from Rod Langway, not real Rod Langway. He says, "Where does Lucas Johansson? I have no idea actually. Rate in our defensive prospect pool. Where do you put Johansson in the stack ranking?"
You know, that's interesting. I don't necessarily know that he's defective. I mean, you got to remember that. Like,
I misspoke there. Like, where do you rank him in the defensive prospect pool?
Oh, that's also a great question too. That I think his injury. So when I saw Lucas play when he was a rookie for the Capitol for the Bears, you saw the skating, the playmaking, the decision making, but it was like a step slow a little bit. Like, I think he just needs experience, but I actually think he's a good player and I think he will develop. It's just, he might be a little bit slower than other people. Yeah. I think he got derailed by the injury, but I mean, you know, his brother is Ryan, you know, one of the better players in the NHL. I just wouldn't count him out. But in another sense, I don't think the Capitals help this problem by sometimes having so many veteran defensemen that they bring on. Again, you know, with Gudas, I understand the Matt Niskanen trade. I understand that they needed to take on salary or something like that. But like then like the Garnett Hathaway deal and stuff like that and some of the guys that they signed, you know, they would be better off, you know, opening up a hole or two on forward and defense for prospects to see what they have, because you can always get these guys at the trade deadline. So they kind of limit their opportunities for rookies, and it kind of depresses the pool for prospects to kind of break through. So, you know, Alexiev is another guy who I actually think he's probably closer to the NHL than anybody else among the defensive prospects there. But, you know, he had the concussion during training camp. So it's going to be interesting. I wouldn't give up on him. He definitely has NHL like skating ability and things like that. I just think his brain just needs to have more experience with just hockey at a professional level, you know.
Right on. Yeah and like you're right that like the free agent market like does a bit to like depress teams' interest or like patience with like developing in the
farm.
Harry asks predictions for the outcome of tonight's game. I mean, every game ends 3-2, right? Like, if you're gonna like shoot in the dark, you always just say 3-2. That's like my like thing.
I got 6-2 Blues.
Whew.
No, dude, what happened with the banner raising?
I don't remember.
The Capitals almost scored like 10 goals. I mean, it gives you like
superhuman power.
It's gonna be a hot arena. The players are gonna be completely jacked. I mean, I'm not saying the Capitals can't weather it, but like the most likely outcome to me is like it's 6-2. Win by the Blues.
All right, so I'll do just to troll. I'll say 1-0. Chandler Stephenson game winner.
Oh, that is
off-topic question from Barrow's boy. Ryan Zimmerman. Will Ryan Zimmerman's broken bat single or the error that led to the winning run be the Nationals' version of the Lars Eller 2-0 Teagle? So you and I were like doing the tech test for this last night at like 10:25, and I'm like, all right, I got to go. And I went, I had to put the medicine in my eyes so that I don't have that thing that happened to me in July again. So I did not see anything that happened with the Nats. Apparently it was a dramatic turnaround victory, huh?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, it was just like one of those, I don't know. I for whatever reason, I went into that game, I just felt like the Nats would win. And then when you saw that the Brewers reliever didn't have a slider and he was just throwing fastballs, I mean, he was kind of screwed. And so there was just some, you know, the hit by Zimmerman just felt cosmic. So basically he swung, his bat broke in half, and the ball just found the hole between center and second. And then that Juan Soto, I don't even know how to call it because it's an error. But, like, you know, he basically should have had three RBIs. That play was crazy because when he hit the ball, it had that weird spin. And then the outfielder was charging, and he was already thinking ahead to the play at the plate instead of, like, getting the ball. And so he just missed it completely and it was over. It was crazy. It was crazy. But that's one of those games where, yeah, like that Lars Eller goal, it's like it feels like something greater than everyone on the ice is doing something.
It's excellent.
And I am actually spiritual. Like, don't ask me religious-wise, but I am spiritual. So sometimes I raise my eyebrow at this stuff and I'm like, what is going on here? So I hope that is a sign to come for the Nationals for sure. Even though, go Orioles.
If there's a cosmic consciousness that cares about broken bat singles, I'll be very disappointed. But the broken bat thing, that reminds me of how the Royals beat the O's, three or four years ago.
Yes.
That was a frustrating series. God,
don't bring it up. I know, because I thought they were playing better than the Royals, but the Royals just kept winning. It was what the frick?
Gene wants to know if you can request Steve Dangle wear the Cap Stanley Cup hat when he does a video recap of the Leafs Caps games this season.
Yes, I have his number, so I can bother him whenever I want, and sometimes he bothers me too. At really weird times with really weird stories, which is Steve Dangle.
That seems very Steve-ish to me.
Can I just say that I can't believe I'm friends with him?
Really?
I mean, I realize that we're
believe it.
No, I get we're contemporaries kind of, but like, I don't know. I'm just like, when I met him, I was like, this is like the Canadian version of me, just a little bit more confident in being crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. I could have talked to him for 180 hours in a row. It was weird.
I would have been so exhausted.
It was the epitome of brother from another mother.
Right. All right, I'm going to take one more from VR here, and then we'll wrap up with Ben's question here. Unless, if last call for questions, I guess. Some of us have to get back to work. We're on our lunch hours here. Which established Caps player could lose their spot on the team with poor play and possibly get traded away at the trade deadline? I think possibly Orlov. Your thoughts? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of expectation on Orlov to improve, but I don't know of anybody that's the hook. I mean, like,
do you want me to go wild?
Kuznetsov.
I think Kuznetsov or Holtby.
Yeah, I could totally see, like, not letting Holtby go for nothing. That said, if the Caps want to go for a run, I would hold on to Holtby.
Yeah.
He single-handedly beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think that's probably the best one there. I think, when will Dangle bother you to be on this podcast? Like, his podcast isn't like an interview over the internet podcast. Like, they've got three dudes in a room. So I don't know if they're, like, geared for that.
I can ask him and be like, please have me on, but, you know, I'd rather him ask me if he wanted me to be on. But I was on it once, and I was like, wow, this is one of the biggest things I've ever done.
That said,
and I'm just like, I'm just talking to three amazing dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If our readers want to annoy people in other parts of media to involve us in stuff, we would certainly not object to that. So, yes. You know, it also looks less pathetic when it's not us doing it ourselves. Oh,
yeah, I know.
Somebody asked an Overwatch question. I don't want to skip that. Who asked the Overwatch question? Oh, yeah. Pisces. Oh, this is hard to read. Okay, yeah. Every time I talk, you show off your merch. Will we ever get more Overwatch coverage from Peter, especially when the Justice are playing in DC next year? Hell yeah. So, Ian, we have an email about this. We'll follow up on it. But
yeah.
The Justice, the Overwatch team, they're playing like games at Anthem. Isn't that cool?
Oh, really? Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be cool as hell.
Dude, can we just go? Let's go.
Yeah, we'll go.
Like, let's literally quit our jobs right now and go.
all right, last one. Ben wants our Stanley Cup predictions, who versus who. and who wins the draft lottery. I'll start with my Stanley Cup prediction. I'll say the Knights, who I think are like consensus best team in the West, start preseason, although the Avs may be up there. We'll see. I have a feeling, yeah, I like the Avs a lot, but I'm going to say the Knights versus the Bolts, and I'll say the Knights win the Stanley Cup. How about that?
Wow.
And
wow.
For the basement, I don't think it's much of a contest. I think it's Ottawa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Give me Toronto out of the East. I think even though it shouldn't, I think a lot of people rally around Austin Matthews, and he'll have a, you know, whatever, a chip on his shoulder from being so embarrassed and stuff, but whatever. But I think Toronto is a really, really good young team, and I haven't really understood why they haven't put it together yet. So I just think that they're due. I really see a lot of similarities between them and the younger Caps teams, minus, you know, Austin's a dick. And then in the West...
Sharks got worse. The other California teams are garbage.
You know what? Give me Colorado.
Yeah.
Andre Burakov is going to score 45 goals. No, I'm just kidding. I think, you know, if they have some firepower in that lineup. I mean, they probably have the best line in hockey, best first line in hockey, I think. And then you just have Burakovsky, who could explode if he finds his old form, which, who knows, he might be injured like Carl Alsner and can't open pickle jars. But if he still can, he might be really good. And they got Donskoy. They got Kadri, who is Peter's favorite player ever. I don't know. I think they could really do some serious damage out in the West and be really good. Minus when they play the Caps and Tom Wilson fights that really tall defenseman dude who wanted to get payback for breaking that one guy's eye socket.
Right. Yeah, I remember when like the Caps got eliminated and we like, you know, picked our bandwagon teams, and like, you know, half the site said we like the Avs, which was a surprise to me, and I totally see why. Also, there's some pretty boys on that team. I understand that. Alrighty. I think that does it for our inaugural live stream. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, especially if you're on your lunch break. Thank you for the questions. Welcome to any feedback. Andy, any parting notes before we say goodbye to everybody?
I will say that before we did this, obviously we had the delay, but I also didn't have... Okay, so like I'm coming through Skype. And right now, none of my internet is working, except for Skype. So, like, I just want everyone to really know that, you know, we prepared for this last night, like good boys, and everything went wrong, almost. So the fact that we're communicating to you live, we're proud that it worked out. Another thing, there's going to be lots of events this year and stuff. One of the things is it's looking like our Armin B tournament will be the first Saturday in November. So that's some news for some people that listened in today. I'll put it out there probably tomorrow or Friday, but we would love a bunch of people to play. If you haven't played in the area and want to get some sticks and kind of see what it's like, we want first-timers. We want people like that. We want to grow the game here. Lots of big things coming from Armin B this year. You have no idea what I've been doing over the summer. So, all right.
Yep. Lots of cool stuff coming. All right. Thank you, everybody. Let's go Caps. We'll talk to you more tonight.
This has been Russian Machine Never Breaks, the podcast. But now, it's over. Nothing to see here. Move along.